The grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Well, good morning and a special welcome to our 10 o'clock morning worship service here at St. Paul's. It's good to have you all with us, and it's great to have all the kids with us as well. If you're visiting with us for the first time, then you are warmly welcomed, and it's great to have you. And please do come for tea and coffee that's served in the hall after the service. God, you have made known to us the path of life. In your presence there is fullness and joy. Let's lift up our voices together to sing our first hymn, Christ is alive and the universe must celebrate. Life-giving God, we are a blessed people. In this moment of worship, we pray that you might bless us anew. Give us ears to hear the melodies of praise that fill the world around us. And as we hear the songs of life, teach us to sing and to rejoice in the wonders of your grace. But Lord, forgive us when we have passed by signs of your mercy. Forgive our lack of faith in your loving power. We look around us and all that we see is what we don't have. We fail to notice the daily blessings you lavish upon us. Clear our blindness to the needs of others. Strengthen us and move us from lame excuses for not serving you. Help us to truly listen to one another, not with our own pat answers ready, but with loving and generous hearts. Heal us and make us ready to truly be your disciples. Loving God, from this moment forward, open our eyes to the places where joy is springing up from parched ground. Lead us by your Spirit in the pathways of your overflowing peace, hope, and joy, and be with us now as we worship you together this morning. And as Jesus taught us, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, boys and girls.
Is he on? David, are you on?
If I now suddenly blow up, you wouldn't mind. Well, something very strange has been happening in our house. And it really is a puzzle. For this last week or so, people have been arriving at our house and bringing presents. And they brought all kinds of strange things. Somebody brought this. Does anyone know what this is for? Some kind of cooking thing to bake cakes. What did you think?
Thank you.
I am sure that's absolutely what it's for. And he and I thought it was for cleaning windows. And you need to know how to switch it on, but you also need to know how to plug it in.
Yes, that's right.
Someone also brought us this. What is that?
A plate.
What?
A plate.
It's a plate. Isn't that exciting? Not really. And someone also brought this. It's a torch. Isn't it thrilling when your door goes and somebody comes with a parcel and it's a torch? It's got batteries, so it's not so bad. And someone brought these. Disco lights.
Butterfly
lights. Butterfly lights. The butterflies need lights. So these things have been arriving. And it's not my birthday. It's not my wife's birthday. Does anyone know what these are for? For me? I hope not. Well, some of them came in a parcel. And this parcel might give you a clue. I've got to get it out, this poke, and lift it out. Ah! Thursday.
Valentine's Day.
Don't laugh, that was very sensible. There's a big heart on it, so looks like Valentine's Day, but it's not Valentine's Day.
A wedding.
That's what it will be for, because my little girl is getting married tomorrow. And I am going to give my little girl away. I am going to give her away to an optician. And I will be upset. But I will be comforted in the thought that I will now have a life supply of free reading glasses. So that's a fairly good deal, really. It's going to be a wedding, and our house is in utter confusion. You would not believe it because of this wedding. I can't get into my wardrobe to put on my nice clothes because there's a bride's veil hanging down the front of the wardrobe and I am not allowed to touch it. I am so looking forward to this Tuesday morning. So our house is all about weddings. And St. Paul's this morning is all about weddings because this is the anniversary of Fergus and Gabrielle's wedding. He's looking surprised. He's obviously forgotten. He's had 40 years, isn't it, to learn to remember it, and he's
he's forgotten. Imagine living with Mr. Buchanan for 40 years. You can hardly imagine it. And you can hardly imagine Fergus taking this little girl away to be married. A child bride. The Bible speaks about weddings. And the Bible speaks about one special wedding. And the Bible tells us that one day the Lord Jesus, who created the heavens and the earth, and who came as a little baby to Bethlehem, who grew up, died on the cross for us, and then went to be with his Father in heaven, one day he's going to come back. And he is going to come back for all his people and all his children. And it will be a wonderful day. And it will be a day of joy and great happiness. And the Bible says it will be like the best wedding day ever. It says that Jesus will come down from heaven, and his people will be like a bride, beautifully dressed to meet him. That's how happy it's going to be. And if you love the Lord Jesus, you will be there on that best day ever. Isn't that wonderful? This is a special day. And Lindsay's going to come forward. And she's going to help us through the rest of this very special day.
Can we invite Gabrielle to come out to the front, please? Come up, Fergus. Well, we are a united body, body of many parts, all united in Christ. And we are told to rejoice with those that rejoice. So we're going to rejoice this morning with Gabrielle and Fergus for an amazing achievement to be married for 40 years. I'll be 11 at the end of the month, so I'm something to aspire to. So congratulations on behalf of your church family.
Thank you.
And there's a beautiful cake here. There's a beautiful cake here with a wedding photo on it.
Just don't give this to David.
Which is gorgeous.
There you go. Oh, we've got a photograph.
I know. Has anyone got a... We've got a picture. Happy.
There you go.
We're okay. We're on.
Thank you so much.
In addition to tea and coffee, you will have a lovely slice of this lovely wedding anniversary cake.
Thank you.
You might get Fergus's head. Thank you.
Thank you. I follow that. Yeah. Thank you very much, everyone. It's always lovely when you join in the days of celebration. But let's sing together now about God's family, where we are called to meet with our Lord Jesus and to flourish in his love. The church is wherever God's people are praising. Yeah, friends, the crisis has been averted. I thought I'd lost my glasses, and that's why Lindsay was off, but they were actually down there. I think it was the shock of seeing the photograph of myself on that wedding cake, wearing flared trousers. Kind of discombobulates you, that kind of thing. But once again, many thanks to you. Let's prepare ourselves to read God's word as we remain seated and sing together, "How blessed are those who do not stray." Now let's read together in God's Word in the scriptures of the Old Testament in the book of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 35 and at verse 1. Isaiah 35 at verse 1, reading to the end of the chapter. And this is on page 719 in the Pew Bible. 719. The Word of God that came through His prophet. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Thanks be to God, and again, we read in the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 4 at verse 23. Matthew chapter 4 at verse 23. And you'll find this on page 968 in the Pew Bible. We read there, this is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry and in a sense an introduction to everything that will be heard and seen. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Thanks be to God for his word to us, and may this be a way for us to come closer to the living word himself. Let's sing together now, friends, O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Now let us pray. God our Father, we stand before the witness of your word, which tells of days when your word came powerfully to your people through the prophets. We stand before the witness of Scripture and are told of the days when the apostles told the story of Jesus and lives were changed. And we realize that there is that possibility that we can close with a living word. The truth that has power to clarify our vision of who you are and to keep us more firmly in your ways. So we pray that that word will be present to us today. and that we would know the difference as we leave this place to be your witnesses. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I would reckon that most people who are visiting Israel today as tourists will eventually end up at least on the shores of the Dead Sea. It's probably the most notable of all the natural phenomena in Israel because of the concentration of salt, which is really more or less within a lake rather than a sea. I'm told that it's 10 times more salty than any part of the sea that you would care to take a drink from. And of course I'm not recommending that. And it's seriously to be discouraged in the Dead Sea. Because when I was there and was floating around, as you do in the Dead Sea because of the buoyancy that there is, I was warned to keep my mouth shut. Now you can imagine that's a challenge for me, but actually some of the water did stray into my mouth and it wasn't at all pleasant. So there is that buoyancy in the Dead Sea that enables you to float. It's a remarkable place in many ways. But of course nothing lives in that sea. There are no fish. It's doubtful if much algae even can survive there, and nothing grows along its banks. It's a Dead Sea. And it's while I was floating around on the sea that an image from the scriptures came into my mind from the prophet Ezekiel. And it's probably one of my favorite passages in scripture, I have to say, because Ezekiel was given a vision of the temple in Jerusalem in the days when it would be renewed. And Ezekiel saw flowing from the threshold of the temple a pure stream of water. And it flowed across the land of Israel, down to the Arabah and into the Dead Sea. And as it flowed into the Dead Sea, it purified the waters, so that eventually it was teeming with fish. And along its banks, trees began to grow, fruit trees that were laden with fruit. And in meditating upon that vision, many people down through the generations have taken this as a symbol, as what will happen at the end of all things when God comes down amongst us, when Jesus returns to this earth, as David was explaining to the children. And all things will be made new. Everything will be purified. Life will overwhelm every intimation of death and decay. And we will be living in the new creation. That, of course, is associated in the minds of the ancient people of Israel with the coming of the Messiah. And we believe that the Messiah has come in Jesus, although that time of complete renewal still lies in the future. But what we see in the ministry of Jesus is Jesus seeking, in everything that he said and in everything that he did, Jesus is seeking to give each and every one of us a foretaste of what it's going to be like when that day of renewal comes upon this earth, when the kingdom of God comes down, when everything in heaven and on earth will be united. And in that short passage that we read from the Gospel according to Matthew, what we find there is the ministry of Jesus kind of summed up before the story is actually told. It's a bit like an overture to an opera or to a musical where the themes of the entire piece are brought together in one concise movement. And this is Matthew's way of saying to us, now if you're going to read on in my gospel, this is what you're going to see time and time again. You're going to see the kingdom of God demonstrated through the ministry of this man Jesus. He's going to show you what it will be like at the end of all things when he will return to this earth and set up his kingdom. And the first thing that strikes you in that short passage is that Matthew tells us that Jesus in his ministry is going to demonstrate the kingdom in his words. He's going to demonstrate the kingdom in his words. Right at the beginning, Matthew says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. Jesus came teaching. Jesus came preaching. That was always at the heart of his ministry. His first theme when he came amongst the people of his time was to proclaim that the kingdom of God had come in him in a unique and significant way. They were going to see God working through his ministry. And he went through the whole of the region of what we would call Palestine today, preaching this message, taking up every opportunity when he attended the synagogue and was invited to provide teaching there, to show them that God's plan for the earth was unfolding, that the kingdom was coming in a new way, and that the fulfillment of that kingdom was in God's hands in the future. Not that, you know, the hope of this was new to the people of Israel, of course. But what Jesus was doing was he was taking these ancient truths, truths that were contained in the scriptures, and he was making them live in a way that no one had ever heard before. He was taking these ancient ideas and showing people how they affected their lives now. And of course that set him apart quite markedly from the teachers and the preachers that the people were used to in that time. So often their teachers and their rabbis were caught up in ancient debates about what the law actually means. You know, taking out obscure points of theology and doing them to death. But when they listened to Jesus, he gave them the impression that he was actually connected to the great truths that God was seeking to bring to his people. When they listened to Jesus, it was as if he was coming from the very throne room of God and delivering these great truths into their midst. People listened to him and said, you know, this is totally different. This guy's speaking with authority. As if he really knows about these things. He's speaking in a way that we can understand. Speaking in a way that's relevant to us now. And you know, this is important for us today, friends. This whole business of truth. Where do we find our truths about God? About humankind? About the central problem of humankind and how humankind can be saved? Where do we find these truths? It's important for us to address this because, you know, you'll find that probably, I can guarantee that somewhere in the UK this month there'll be an article in a newspaper telling us that we live in a post-truth society. The books are flying off the printing presses that talk about the death of truth. There's actually, I caught a glimpse of the title of a book in Waterstones the other day, and it's all right, Gabriel, I didn't buy it. It's called The Death of Truth. Because what's my truth might not be your truth, and that doesn't really matter. We just all live by our truths. It's even found its way into sport. You know, that carry on with Andy Murray at the US Open. He was playing Fernando Verdasco and they had a break. And Andy saw Fernando talking to his coach. And he said, that's not allowed. You can't talk to your coach during a break. And Fernando said, I didn't speak a word to my coach. Which prompted Andy to go on to social media and say, I'm going for a health check. Apparently I'm imagining things. But what is the truth? It's a question that we ask ourselves time and time again. And when we come to Scripture, what does Jesus say? He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Now, he won't tell us what happened between Andy Murray and Fernando Verdasco, but he will tell us the truth about God. He will tell us the truth about the central issue that humankind faces. And he will tell us how humankind can be saved. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus demonstrates the kingdom in his words, but also in his love. We're told that as well as teaching and preaching, Jesus came healing every disease and sickness among the people. And you know, we come up against the whole business of healing in Scripture, and you know, we have to be honest and say that it's a challenge to us in many ways. Because there are people within the church who would tell us that healing in the way Jesus healed is as much the church's mission today as preaching and teaching. And we cannot just skate over that particular challenge. But I think that sometimes, and it was the same problem that existed in Jesus' day amongst the teachers and the theologians of his time. Sometimes we can get so much involved in debate and in toing and froing in certain issues that we miss the heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter in relation to the sick and the disturbed is that in the first place, there is a people. There is a community who cares. A community which has at its heart a love which motivates towards caring. Do you remember what the Apostle Paul says in that passage which is so often read at weddings, but which in a sense is setting out a challenge to the people of Corinth and also to Christians in every generation, where Paul says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And what Paul is saying is that we can have the highest aspirations to Christian service. And to wish to do the most spectacular things in the life of the church and in society, but we can do that and be deficient in love. There can be other motivations for doing all that kind of thing. And that's what was happening in Corinth. And Paul is saying, where is your love? You know, a long, long time ago, Willie Barclay wrote a book about the healing miracles of Jesus, and it was entitled, And He Had Compassion. And He Had Compassion. That these words so often precede healing miracles of Jesus. And it underlines for us what moved Jesus to cleanse the leper. And what moved Jesus to open the eyes of the blind? And what moved Jesus to enable the cripple to walk? It was because His heart went out to them in the first place. It was because He loved them. And that is the challenge that each and every one of us faces. Whatever gifts that we have and whatever gifts we aspire to, is there love at the heart? Because it's love, a demonstration of Christian love, that brings an experience of the kingdom into here and now. And I would say to you this morning, when you're perhaps reading about all the wonderful service that so-called heroes and heroines of the faith have been engaged in down through the generations, and you feel diminished in some way about all that these people have been able to do and just the poverty of your own service, please never underestimate the significance of what can be achieved by a simple act of kindness. And even as I say that, an act of kindness is not simple, because it opens the door to an experience of God's kingdom in our midst. What did Jesus once say? He said that anyone who even gives a cup of cold water to one of His disciples, or to those He loves, anyone who gives a cup of cold water is doing something significant to people in need. And they will not be without their reward. So, when we are sending out flowers to people after our service, to those who are sick, to those who are bereaved, facing some challenge in their lives, that should never be underestimated. That act of kindness. Don't think that you're only sending somebody a card when they're sick or bereaved. Remember the cup of cold water. And never think that you're only doing something very small and insignificant when you're responding to the cry for help with some practical duty. Jesus tells us that everything that is motivated by love is a sign of the kingdom. It's demonstrated in His words, it's demonstrated in His love, and also in His gathering. You know, it's an amazing thing that news about Jesus spread over Syria, all over Syria. That's probably the province of Syria, which was under Roman control. And people were brought to Him who were ill, various diseases, suffering pain and demon possession and so on. And really, I'm saying it's astonishing, but it is no surprise. I mean, if somebody was doing all this today, then you can guarantee that there would be crowds gathering around them just to see what was going on. But you know, it's more than just a movement of the curious. When all these people are coming together to listen to Jesus and to see him healing or to be healed by him, it was always Jesus' purpose to gather people together who would be with him. That was the first priority when he called the apostles. You can read what Mark says. Mark says that yes, he wanted a community that would preach and would heal. But the first thing was to call people to be with him. And not just to be a community, and certainly not to be an institution, but certainly to be a movement of God's people on this earth. A people who would believe. A people who would tell his story. A people who would share his love. And who would be reaching out to gather even more people in this movement. And I think that that's something that we need to be reminding ourselves of, friends, time and time again. To try and break out of the mindset of the church as a club or an institution. But to realize that we are part of a movement that God has established on this earth. To be his witnesses. And to gather more and more people in their conviction that Jesus is Lord. You know, we can be disappointed in the church, and sometimes we can despair with the church. But you know, I've looked in Scripture to see if there's a plan B, and there isn't. God has always wanted a people on this earth to bear witness to his truth and to show forth his love. You know, I was listening just this morning on the radio to a service, and there was a lovely anthem which the choir sang, and the refrain time and time again was, "He has no body on this earth but yours." He has no body on this earth but yours. God has chosen to work through a people. And the Apostle Paul sets before us the climax of this witness. When everything in heaven and on earth is brought together under the Lordship of Jesus. That's what we're heading towards. And that has to be at the very heart of our witness. Seeking to bring more and more people into this movement that is headed by our Lord Jesus. Now, I know that your heart might sink even at the prospect, because, you know, we're certainly not expanding very much in our own country today or in the Western world at large. But read the Gospels and discover that there were times when even the words of Jesus bounced off hearts that were clenched in hostility against him. And discover that even with that overwhelming love that just flooded through the being of Jesus, there were times when he couldn't heal because of the atmosphere of his hostility that he was coming up against. But to paraphrase an old saying, Jesus kept on to the bitter end. But the end was not so bitter, because the ultimate sacrifice opened up the prospect of forgiveness for men and women, for renewal, for them to be drawn into this great movement, so that they themselves could tell the story, share the love, and put forward that vision of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw men and women to me. That bitter end has opened up the prospect of renewal for all of us and to be part of God's great plan. So this is what Matthew is about this morning. The words of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the gathering of Jesus. Let's pray that all of that will be a reality in our community today. Let's pray. God, our Father, we ask that in the power of your Spirit you will bless us. Enable us to realize the truths of the gospel and to faithfully move towards that day when all things will be made new. Amen. Let's sing together now, Lord, you have come to the seashore.
We'll continue in our worship with our thanksgiving to God. Let us pray. Loving God, we come to you today with thankful hearts. For Lord, you have not only created a world of beautiful sights and sounds, but you have provided us with the ability to enjoy it all. You have not only given us life, but you have created us to live in relationship with you and with each other. You have not only made us in your image, but you have so designed us that we can think and plan and reflect on who we are and what we might become, no matter what age or stage we are at in life. We thank you for every opportunity you provide to step out of our daily routine and to take a pause from the endless activity each day brings. Sovereign Lord, be Lord not only of the things that we do, the service we offer and the activities that control our every waking moment, but also be Lord of our silences. The moments of stillness and the sense of freedom they bring. Lord, teach us that your love cannot be won by our incessant activities, but is your free gift to all who wait upon you and do so in the name of Christ. Lord, for all that you are to us now, we bring you our offerings. The gifts we now bring are a sign of how grateful we are. And we bring you these gifts in Jesus' name. In patience and in hope, let us offer now our prayers for others. For this community and all who live in it, we ask God that you would strengthen the weak, afraid and lonely. Help us to bring the light of Christ to those that we meet locally, and may we be powerful witnesses of the joy that Christ can bring. For all who are nearest to you, O God, the lonely, the out of work, the sick, the fearful, the cold and the hungry, and those in need of healing, we bring you our prayers. We pray for those that struggle with unforgiveness, and those who sit ashamed of their past. We ask for your help to move people to a place of trust, forgiveness, and assurance in Christ. And Lord God, today we rejoice with those that rejoice, and we remember the wonderful celebrations that have been mentioned in this church. We give you thanks and praise for the long marriage of Gabrielle and Fergus, of their commitment to one another in love, and their united joy in having you, God, at the centre of their marriage. Lord God, we also remember David's daughter, Bethany, and we thank you that she has found a wonderful Christian man in Peter to be her lifelong partner. We pray for the marriage that will take place on Monday, and we ask that you are with David as he conducts this marriage service. May he be blessed with words of grace and of love. And Lord, this week help us to stay near to our Christian brothers and sisters so that we can fully rejoice with those that rejoice and to mourn with those that mourn. For we are a united body of Christ that cares for all its members. Hear our prayers now, in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing our final hymn of this morning, Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness.
And now may you go in peace to move with Christ into the unknown future. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore.